You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, by the grace, the power, the presence of your Spirit, I pray that you'd be with us at this time and that the word that goes forth, Lord Jesus, would be you, the living word, and that we would abide and find our life in you. And it's in your name, most gracious God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that I pray. Amen. One of the big happenings in Paula's in my life, and if you want, I'll show you pictures after the service, is that we're grandparents now. And so that's, that's, as I say, just, you don't even have to ask me. I might just impose pictures upon you. It's an exciting new time in life. And just recently, this fierce love, this deep love that you had with your children, you now have in relationship with your grandchild, your grandchildren. But of course, it's different as well, isn't it? In that you have this this fierce and heartbreaking love for this person, but you have limitations. So I hear that you didn't have when you were the actual parents. And just recently, Jack sent us a video that took me back. And Max has discovered the hose. Do any of y'all, or any of y'all, maybe you who are still young, can remember the absolute joy of finding the hose? And it is this video of him, and he is giggling and squealing, and it is pure unadulterated joy. And it's funny too, I will say that in the video, Jack is inside filming the video as Samantha, his mother, is outside. She's like, come out. He's like, it's too dangerous. But he's flinging the hose around. And I can remember it took me back memory-wise to right after Jack was born, and we just finished seminary, and we moved back to Charleston from Virginia. And a friend of ours, we had rented a house, 16 Sothel Avenue was the house that we rented, and we hadn't seen it. A friend of ours sent us a Polaroid picture. She had found it for us. She had written a deposit check. We had mailed her a check, and we had seen a Polaroid, so we drove down and arrived and held up the Polaroid. Yes, this is it. This is the place where we're going to be living for the moment. And I can remember he was our grandson's age at that time, and playing with him in the yard with the hose was one of his all-time favorite things. And one moment, and I've actually, some of you may have heard me, I've shared this before, but I remember this one moment. We're out there playing with the hose. You know, he'd chase me, and I'd run, and he'd chase me, and he thought it was the greatest thing. And I would crimp the hose, right? Y'all know this. These amazing parent powers. You can crimp the hose to stop the flow of the water. And he's chasing me, and I crimp the hose. And it was one of those, it was like out of a cartoon. I mean, it just lined up perfectly. Crimp the hose, and the water stopped. And he did this number. And he held up the hose. And he held up the hose to his face, trying to understand how this magic works. And so here was my moment, right? I would just, it's like I'd laid the trap, and he held the hose right up to his face, and I relented. It was that moment. I actually didn't, I'm not a good man, but there was just a moment, actually, in that particular moment, relented, because this is my son, whom I loved. It's an intro. Darlene one read wonderfully a moment ago that, those are the words, aren't they? I mean, those are the words that if you sit with them, they speak to your heart. Those are the foundational words. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, to the end that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then that beautiful, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. We hear this message of God's love for the world, God's love for you and for me as his children, a God who makes a way. We hear in that same reading that that God descends, God comes down to be with you and me, to make a way for us to live and to abide with him, that our lives might have that grounding in his love and his grace, in his choosing us to be his. And as I say that, I believe that absolutely, that God did send the Son in the world. God did indeed come to us because of his love for you and me. But if we're also honest about life experience, it often feels like God uncrimps the hose, doesn't it? Life often seems to hit us right in the face, and not just for a moment, sometimes for extended periods of time. Lord, I believe that you love me. Lord, I believe that you love the world. I believe that you didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. But what I'm experiencing right now is the blast in the face, is the hose uncrimped. That's part of the human condition, and it's been part of the human condition down through time. You know, God, do you love me? Do you love the world? God, what are you up to in the world? What are you up to in my life? Those are questions that loving and grounded and faithful people ask themselves and ask of God. Surely we hear of Abram going forth. Is simply Abram just sort of appears on the scene, Abram and Sarai, and the next thing we hear is go, and they go. And as we read through Genesis and as we see their lives, there's moments of faithfulness, there's moments of questioning, there's moments of tremendous faithfulness, there's moments of tremendous failure, there's hardships, there's all the things of the human condition are present in their lives as they go. And Nicodemus has come to Jesus at night, and it's you know, we don't know why was his day. So he was a leader, he was a well-known person. Was his day so full that he only had night to come and see Jesus? Did he come to see Jesus at night because he didn't want to be associated with Jesus? We don't know. Maybe a little bit of both of those things and more to it as well. But we see him coming as well because Nicodemus has all those questions. I believe in God. I long to know God. I long to be known by God. And I'm trying to understand it. I'm trying to figure it out along the way. And there's something about Jesus that I am not that I'm not quite sure. And he comes to see him. And one of the greatest examples, I think, of often the human condition in relationship with God is the prophet Habakkuk. Do any of y'all remember Habakkuk, one of the minor prophets? And I think you can probably identify with Habakkuk because Habakkuk, it's a little short. I'm trying to remember, is it 2-3 chapters of Habakkuk? But Habakkuk asks the question, and this is the very first sentence. It begins the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. But he says this: O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear, or cry to you violence, you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity, and why do you so idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous. So justice goes forth perverted. That's Habakkuk begins his prayer is a complaint. God, what are you doing? What are you doing, God? Where are you? Help me understand. And it continues. It's almost insulting. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? I thought you were from everlasting. I thought you loved us. I thought you knew what you were doing, was what Habakkuk says to God. And then he goes on and he says this: I will take my stand at my watch post and station myself on the tower and look out and see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. So he tells God, look, I'm going to go and I'm going to wait for you. I'm going to stand on the watchtower. He basically puts himself on the judgment seat and says, God, I'm going to go and stand and I'm going to wait to hear what you say. If you're supposedly the God who loves us, the God from everlasting, why are terrible things happening all around me? Why are terrible things happening in my life? Why am I struggling? Is what Habakkuk says to God. And if you remember, what should God's response be to such accusation and impertinence? He might surely strike Habakkuk, but God responds. God responds to Habakkuk. He responds graciously to his accusations, to his questions, sincere that they are. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by his faith. God says, write the vision. He says, wait for it. It'll surely come. And make it plain so that others might see it. Make it plain so that others might run with it. Make it plain so that people may know. We hear that word of promise given to Habakkuk. I'll respond. There's a lot that goes on in life that is it's difficult to understand. It's difficult to contend with. It's difficult to wrap our arms around. And again, if we're honest, there's so much that we can't wrap our arms around. And to that, of course, we see in the gospel today God's response. You and I, we can't wrap our arms around it. But we see that God comes into the world to wrap his arms around us. That though the hose is often unleashed on us and it pours over us, God says, I'll give you the vision. I'll give you the promise. I will come. For God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, I will draw the world to myself. His being lifted up upon the cross is the means by which God stretches out his arms. It's the means by which God embraces us. It's the means by which God addresses all the things which are more than we're able to address ourselves. He willingly comes down in order to be lifted up, and his being lifted up is being lifted up on a cross, and his being lifted up on a cross is that so that you and I might be lifted up in our lives as well. And to know that he loves us, that he hasn't come into the world to condemn us, that he's come to call us his sons and his daughters. And the invitation to you and to me is to go forth in our lives without all the answers, without all the conclusions, without everything being neatly tied together. And as the Gospel of John goes on, Jesus invites us to abide. He invites us to, even as we go in life, even as we go and we make good decisions and we make bad decisions, we get it right at times, we get mistakes at times, we have greater clarity, we have less clarity. We have this opportunity to know that he's come, that we might be his, that he might give us a life in him, that we might abide in him, that we might be loved by him in a way that all of the other things cannot take it away, as flawed and self-focused as I am. There was that moment of love with my son where I'm just like, you know what, I would do anything just to put my arms around him and protect him. And though life often seems surprising to you and to me, that's exactly the message given to us in Jesus, the God who says, you know what, I've come that you're mine, that you might be mine, and know and hear and abide in the reality that I love you. I did not come to condemn you. I came to love you. Heavenly Father, Thank you that you seek us, that you love us, that you lay down your life for us and take it up again, that our lives might be secure in you regardless of where we find them. Enable us to abide in the love and grace given to us in Jesus, your Son, in whose name I pray. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.